Following talk was conducted on the 25th of June 2023 and is entitled How I Used Unity to Change My Life with LUT candidate Dee Dimmick.
How's everyone feeling? Did you enjoy the song? Yeah, it's a great song. It's very real to me because it is very important that we believe ourselves that we can change things and we can perform miracles. Okay. So today I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story and what brought me to unity, or how I was brought to unity. More than what brought me to unity was how I was brought to unity. So many, many years ago, I gave up the life of D as I was at that point. I'd suffered many crises in my life. There was one after another. This was, I think, something that was beyond the childhood dilemmas that a lot of us go through. This had continued on into adult life as well. So I married a man because at the time I was pregnant and my parents were very, very thing about me getting married and not having a child out of wedlock, etc. It didn't matter whether I cared about that man or not, or whether, you know, he cared about me or not. And this is crisis number one. I'd find myself just crying all the time. Didn't matter what I did, didn't matter what happened, didn't matter. There were things that were happening that I should have been happy about. But all I could do was cry. That was crisis number one. So crisis number two was that my body would not accept any contraception. So it would reject that. So I couldn't actually use contraception. So I went on to have three more children with this man that I had to marry. We were always, myself and the children, were always second in his life, but we were never put first. And I had sort of grown accustomed to that and had sort of felt comfortable, I guess, with slotting into that position because I didn't really want to go out into the world. This was my little place with the children, and he was just basically the provider, I guess, at that time. Crisis number three, he did start to push me around. So it started with just sort of mild little shoves here and there, and then one night he really, really pushed me hard and I hit the wall, and that was a continuation of different things. So he was getting more violent, I guess, as time went on. And to add to this, he was also an alcoholic. So that was very challenging in itself without adding the violence and et cetera to it. So the stronger he became, or it seemed that he became, the more meek I felt, the weaker I felt. So I was quite introverted, I guess, at that stage. Crisis number three was that I had a total breakdown. That was it. Mentally, emotionally, everything gone. And it wasn't until I had that I'd sort of decided, then I made that decision that I had to leave. I had to leave that situation. I couldn't deal with it anymore. Still at this point, I hadn't thought about a higher power or my divinity or what's available to all of us, what's there available for us every day. I had no thought of that. Last thing in my mind. Anyway, I left him and I took the children. I left everything else behind, everything. I didn't take anything else but the children. But I hadn't coped. This is crisis number four. I couldn't cope. My mental health had suffered. I was on very, very strong medication at that point that the doctors had put me on. In fact, they'd started me on medication when I was pregnant with my last child with him. And so I was always worried that the child, there was going to be something wrong with the child because of the medication. But Ben turned out fine. But anyway, so crisis number five he fought for custody and he won because my mental state was, it was gone. He defeated me at that point. So what pursued from that moment on was more than I could endure, okay? It, as you can imagine, I'm sure, you know, everyone's got children or grandchildren or no friends have children. To be separated like that was really, really challenging. So at some point, I met this other person who ended up becoming my future partner. We're still together now, and this is many, many years later. Laurie, are you okay? Okay. And he tried to support me the best way that he could. Again, he was young as well, and he didn't have much life experience, I guess, so he wasn't sure of what he needed to do, but he did make me feel loved. He did make me feel, you know, nurtured, and that was something that I hadn't felt. So we were happy, and I expected my fifth baby. Yes, I had lots of babies. Loved them all dearly. But I was still very heartbroken being away from my other children. And, of course, having this latest child, I actually wanted him to know his siblings, you know, and that was really hard as well. Like, we were living in central Queensland and we were quite isolated out there. My partner at the time was working in the coal mines, so I was home a lot just with the baby by myself. And I was grieving the loss of my children. It was like a death, I guess. It was like a death, like grieving the loss of, you know, something that you love greatly. So I developed crisis number six, just to add to the mix. I ended up having panic anxiety disorder. So where I was feeling introverted, that actually took care of that, made sure that, yes, Dee, don't go out there because out there is not good for you, right? You need to stay in here. And eventually it developed into agoraphobia. So to a point where I'd go to my back door to walk down the stairs and I'd be like, no, I can't do that. So I did not leave the house for, I think it was a couple of years, 2 years, which was, yeah, very challenging as well in its own, you know, right. Anyway, many of these circumstances I believed were out of my control. It was like, that person has done that to me, or this thing has done that to me. I felt I had no control and I was out of control. And I was into a lot of self-blame as well, a lot of guilt, a lot of self-blame. I knew there had to be more to life. I'm sure everyone's felt they've been in that space at one point or another in their lives. So something had to change, but that something was me. I still didn't know at that point how that was going to happen. The universe had already got its wheels in motion, all right? It had already ended something in my life by turning everything on its head. It was like completely upside down. Everything that I thought was my life pretty much was not there now. I remember one night I stood outside in the moonlight where I was living and I looked up into the sky and I surrendered. I gave up everything that had been playing over and over in my head because I knew that it didn't fit who I wanted to be. Instead, I pleaded, please show me whatever it is. Please just show me how to be complete. I didn't yet know that we were already complete. I'd been given a book by Maxwell Maltz. It was called Psycho-Cybernetics. I was trying to read, and it was about positive thinking and how to apply different methods to help myself. When I closed the book, here was the epiphany. When I closed the book, there was this little sticker on the back of it that said silent unity. Okay? My outcomes will end up being positive as I reposition myself to align with a higher power through various means, which allowed for my spiritual growth. I wrote to Unity and I have not looked back. The rest is history. The prayers through Silent Unity, along with written guidance and encouragement, were giving me the strength to know that this was my best direction forward, my personal growth project for my maturity. So that was not just spiritual maturity, emotional maturity, it was everything, it was the whole kit and caboodle. So we ended up moving back to Brisbane and I decided I was finally going to be the storyteller of my own life, the author of how I wanted to live it. I went straight to Unity, which was then located at Woolloongabba with Reverend Midge Berkman, and Reverend Rhonda was there also when I first started back in 95. And I couldn't believe every time someone, Rhonda or Midge, would be talking, it was like, hey, they're just talking to me. They're not talking to anybody else. It's just me. And I used to feel like that every time. It was wonderful. I loved it. It was amazing. Anyway, Unity introduced me to the many more miracles that universal power and presence could co-create with me. To understand my unique abilities and to trust and have faith and believe that all will be well. Attending Unity and meeting like-minded people like yourselves and learning about affirmative prayer, Charles and Myrtle's teachings, the golden key, and guided meditations, along with the most inspiring talks, filled me with love and hope, and my faith was growing. My faith and my belief was growing every day. The many talks and workshops helped me tremendously, and especially practicing the five principles. So if I just quickly go through the five principles, there's only one presence and one power active as the universe and in my life, God the good. My essence is of God as expressed by Jesus the Christ. Therefore, I am inherently good. I'm a co-creator with God, creating reality through thoughts held in mind. Through prayer and meditation, I align my heart mind with God. Denials and affirmations are the tools that we use. And through thoughts, words, and actions, we live the truth we know. I applied Unity's five basic principles in my life, with my family, with my friends, meditating in the silence, doing lots of denials and affirmations, and understanding that I was a work in progress. This was something to be kind to myself and allow myself to experience what this growth was going to be like. It was all still very new to me. So life is about learning and growing and evolving. And who I was 10 years ago is not who I am now. Who I am today is not who I'll be tomorrow. Life is a constant dance of choices, change, letting go of some things and welcoming the new energy of others. I was no longer in the wilderness, however. There is humbling upon humbling in the wilderness. It is not easy and I often resist it, but through the wilderness, Spirit always leads me to a crossroads. Will I serve this divine intelligence or will I serve myself? Letting go of limiting thoughts, I deny the power of anything outside of the divine presence and my inherent divinity. Will I build my life around my love for the one power and one presence or around love for myself? I think it's a bit of both. So my main denial that I would use at that time was, I deny the power of anything outside of the divine presence and my inherent divinity. And my affirmations were, I'm a child of the Most High. Every day in every way, I am getting better and better. Something wonderful will happen to me today. Let go and let God. Through all events and experiences in my life, when I am at that crossroads, and of course, we all still face challenges. They don't go away. They're still in everyone's life in a different way, shape, or form. I always make the choice based on silent meditation, prayer, and applying the unity principles. I always choose truth principles first. Affirmations and denials help restructure the subconscious mind and allows me to enter a special state of surrender, receptivity, and communion with the Most High, where I listen in silence for guidance and I experience my divine connection to spirit. We are all co-creators with one presence and one power. All human beings have the spark of God within us, known as our Christ spirit within, and we are created in the image and likeness of God, and we are always connected directly to the indwelling presence. As stated in 2 Corinthians 12:9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Moving forward, my partner and I purchased a small two-bedroom miner's cottage in Stafford, and the flow-on effect from learning the teachings of the Fillmores with the guidance of the reverends and the like-minded people that gathered in unity that I would attend, I think, every single week, as well as workshops, and I just couldn't get enough of it. Applying the five principles, my life started falling into place. My children came and lived with us in our two-bedroom home. My partner and I married, and it was then that I decided I would extend the principles past beyond what I had achieved with my own personal life. I wanted to do something. I wanted to be able to leave a legacy in some way. So I decided I'd start a business. And this was definitely came to me in meditation. I'd always been very interested in music, but I was always thinking I was going to play guitar and become a rock star or something. I never thought that it was going to be in the back end of music. But I ended up starting a business, creating a business on the little corner in the sleep out that didn't have two bunks in it at the phone fax machine. Okay, that's how I started. So through prayer, meditation, affirmations, and denials, I use these to support the law of mind action. So thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. This helped me to redirect my thoughts to mistaken beliefs in the power of appearances, such as thoughts of lack and separation, to affirm the truth of my divine connection. Because when I started this, when I had this idea, when it was given to me, it was presented to me, it didn't matter who I spoke to about it. They were like, I'm not going to be able to do that. And it's like, why can't I? Why can't I do that? Oh, there's lots of reasons, you know. It's only men that do that. Okay, that's one reason. What are the other reasons? Well, you can't. You can't just start off from nothing and create a business. Well, you can, and that's what I did. So spirit had not finished with me, and there was still more to be expressed. And at the time, I was working casually at the Brisbane Entertainment Centre, and I got to witness the poor treatment of the stagehands that would put all the shows together, all the rock shows together. After waking up one morning, I said to my partner that I was going to change the industry that we were working in. I felt compelled to change these conditions, driven by a force much greater than me. I had to do this. I had to make sure they were treated well, were cared for, as we shared a common bond of music. And I was compelled by spirit. This was my purpose. I knew it in my heart. I knew I had to make a change for these people in their lives. My business, which started in the crushed little area in the sleep out in 1995, through divine guidance and the one power and one presence expressing as me, made it come to fruition. Okay. I'm truly grateful for the Unity teachings and the difference that they have made in my life, my personal life, as well as my spiritual growth, and the continuing effect for the highest good of all concerned. And when I say that, I truly believe that we can receive all of this amazing knowledge from the One Presence and One Power. We can receive direction. We can do all of these things, but I truly believe we're meant to share that with other people. We're meant to make a difference in other people's lives in whatever way we can. I went on to form a charity for these people, and they now have a house where stagehands that are older and have mental illness troubles or have medical issues can actually stay when they don't have any family or anyone to look after them. So they are living in a house at the moment, and it's called Rhodey's Retreat. And I'm continuously giving to that charity to help those people for their future. Because as they age, a lot of them don't have families. But it's something that I feel that I'm giving back because I was given so much. I was blessed so much after going through all of that in my life. To find unity was the most amazing blessing. And it was my conduit. It was my conduit to understanding one power, one presence in all of our lives. And so it is. So I'd like to take this time to lead us in a meditation. If everyone can just make themselves comfortable in your chair, you can close your eyes or look down, whatever makes you feel relaxed. Notice how you are feeling right now, physically and mentally. Take a deep breath through your nose and release that breath through your mouth. Take another breath and allow your breathing to relax as you exhale fully. Breathe in gently, and as you breathe out, let the air carry the tension out of your body. Continue to breathe slowly and gently as you begin to focus on relaxing your body. As you relax into the quiet stillness, please take the words I, me, and my as your very own. There is no power but universal power. I am a part of the whole. I am a child of one presence, one power, filled and surrounded by perfect peace. I turn within and reaffirm my faith in the omnipresence. It allows me to release any fears and invite divine direction. When I trust in the presence within, I will be blessed in countless ways. I have confidence that the path I am following is leading me to opportunities for peace, joy, and freedom. Remember that the one power and presence of divine love is in the midst of every situation. I am loving and align myself with the power of Christ within me. I looked beyond appearances and set my sights on divine outcomes. Anything is possible when I trust the power of Spirit within me to help me succeed. As I move through transitions and evolve in spiritual understanding, I welcome the fullness of the glorious present in whatever form it takes. I give thanks for my growing spiritual awareness and the fulfillment of prayer and the understanding of your power at work within me for the highest good of all.